Hey, America.
Start listening now.
So, Derek, are you ready for this week? Going to be talking about a couple of countries, some Greece, some Cyprus, their friendship.
Their food.
The language.
Danny.
Yes?
I got breaking news. This just came in from Shams Charania. You've been traded to the Dallas Mavericks.
Excellent. How do they pay?
Better than us.
And welcome to another Texan episode of 12 Points from America, Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, where the stars shine bright and the rest. I'm Eric.
And so on and so forth, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the stars at night.
How is it?
Shine big and bright. Didn't watch Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
Clap, clap, clap,
I did,
clap.
But it's been a while. And he's Danny.
I'm Danny. And that's Sam.
Hi.
And that's this week. My God.
This is starting out well, isn't it?
I love it. You know, if it's not nuts stuff happening in U.S. sports, if it's not the Grammys finally making every right decision for once, then it's Eurovision being wild. Like, I feel like we didn't even have to have a topic for this week. We've got a bunch of weirdo stuff happening over there on the old continent.
We got a lot of news. It's been a busy weekend, and it's going to be an even busier week to come. So,
did you guys watch the Grammy Awards?
Nope.
Silly question. Nobody watches the Grammy.
Who watches those?
I did.
Like, you're just the pop culture vulture, and also I don't watch TV.
You'll see it soon enough. It'll be fodder for memes from now on.
Yeah.
I
just want to say that, and this is as political as this show gets. We have no beef with Kendrick Lamar on this show because he's great. No problems. Please don't write any songs about us because Drake, you messed up. my God, I'm not saying it's the greatest mistake anyone's ever made, but man, it's up there. Anyway, Sam, let's hit him with the socials. That would all talk about how we love Kendrick Lamar and wish him nothing but the best.
Well, if you wanted to write to us and tell us how much you love Kendrick Lamar, you can do so over on our social media outlets. Huzzah! You can find us on basically all of them at 12pointsUSA, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find our merchandise on our Redbubble page. And you can support us either via a one-off contribution on our Ko-fi account, that's Ko-fi account, or with a sustaining monthly contribution over on our Patreon account. And whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you either way, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content, early access to episodes, and shout-outs like this one when you join. Finn Ross Russell, our newest Patreon.
Finn!
Hey! Finn! Member of the family. Those of you who listen to the ESC Insight podcast know Finn. He is fantastic and a wonderful human being. I believe he's appeared on 12 Points before when we recorded on site. I don't think he's been on any of our preview episodes, but I think he's been. We've cross posted with Finn. If not, we should.
Yeah.
Finn, we love you.
I've been on his show a number of times.
Likewise.
Anyway, thank you for finally joining us in the Patreon team. Yeah. We're so happy to have you. Thank you to everybody who does that. It really does mean a lot.
It really does. And for the record, there's no nepotism going on here. Finn Ross Russell is not related to me in any way, shape, or form. I mean, I suppose in the way that we're all related, you know, you 6 degrees of separation, we're probably all related somehow, but we are not directly related to each other. So
we're all children of Jesus. Here on the show. Okay. Let's see. Greece.
Hi. Yes. We've had a lot of news over the last couple of days. Greece had their national final, resulting in a winner by Clavia and her song Esteromata, which I believe means starry-eyed, which is beautiful ballad in Greek, which is lovely to see. It's actually so far shaping up to be a pretty, pretty linguistically diverse year so far. Like, I think we've only had like maybe 2 songs in English announced so far, but we'll get to that.
We're about to get to a couple of.
Yeah, like the Slovenian song. After a hard-fought Emma, creating a 2-person super final, Klemen Slakonia won in the end with the song How Much Time Do We Have Left? A lot of people know Klemen from his work as host of Emma in previous years and his comedy work. But this is a much more serious song that we're going to hear from him, basically about a serious health diagnosis that his wife had faced. and them dealing with that together. So that is, how much time do we have left from Slovenia in I believe the first semifinal. That same day, we also had a selection over in Belgium. And again, following a really, I was going to say a hard-fought contest, but in the end, it was a pretty substantial win, like Carrea levels of running away with it, with Red Sebastian and the song Strobe Lights. High energy. Yeah, this is one that's going to be a Euroclub dance floor filler. Yeah.
This one's got potential.
Yes. Hopping over to Spain, we had a winner over in Benidorm Fest this year with the song Esa Diva by Melody. Last week we had talked about Heroes and the Swedish pop music machine. It should be noted that a lot of alumni of that pop music machine are on the songwriting team for Esa Diva. Including Joy Deb, who I believe was on the writing cast for Heroes.
Yes.
Yep. As well as Peter Bostrom, who is known for many, many songs at Eurovision, including Popular, Euphoria, Tattoo, Tom Lieb.
What?
Yep.
Oh, that's a jump scare.
I know, right?
He co-wrote this.
Yeah, he co-wrote. He co-wrote "The Best in Me" and "Esa Diva." Another name on the writing list for this one is Thomas Gieson as well on the list.
Oh man!
So who's been writing for Sweden for over 20 years now?
He's Tattoo and a bunch of others.
It's like finding Red 3 in every single food that you eat. It's like, yeah. Thomas Jieson's there on the label. Like, oh,
high fructose corn syrup, yes. So he has an even longer list, not even counting national final stuff, but Invincible by Corolla back in 2006. Euphoria, of course. Midnight Gold. He was on the writing cast for that one.
No kidding. Yep. Oh, I like him now.
Yeah, but he was also working with Tom Lieb, so.
Well, it happens to the best of us. Sometimes you get a little Tom France certainly. in your God.
Yep.
Boy, do you think he gets booted from France for writing a Spanish song?
I mean, considering he's Swedish, I don't think he cares much.
Tom Lieb?
No, Thomas Gieson.
Oh no, I meant Tom Lieb.
This, like, conversation is a mess.
Yeah.
I blame Tom Lieb. This never happened until we started talking about Tom Lieb.
It's that DEI practice we've been doing.
Oh, boy.
God.
Do you think he broke out in hives having to write something in Spanish? You think that was rough?
I think he just used Google Translate once he was done.
Oh, God, throw it back to last week. Ugh.
Oofda, as we say here. Oofda.
Did she perform this at Benidorm, did she sing it like a hummingbird? Was it?
Hate it so much. Who? What country's next? Who are we?
All right, we move over to Austria.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, okay. We have an artist reveal. Johannes Pietsch, better known as just JJ, is a Austrian, I guess, a contralto. Or countertenor, like super high, super high soprano register, works with the Vienna State Opera, like very, very talented kind of mixing of pop and opera. We don't know a ton about the song yet, other than the fact that it will be called Wasted Love. And co-writing the song with JJ is Teja, as in Teja and Selena.
Yes.
So great to see the return of beloved Teja there. Tay's great.
Going for some real Nemo vibes right out of the gate on this, I feel like.
Yeah.
Not that you have to like pick a mold of a previous artist, because it seems like JJ is operatically trained, and I'm sure it's gonna be pretty different. But that was just my first reaction, was like, ah, the Nemo effect.
Mm.
And you know what?
Cool. There could be worse.
Yeah.
And then over in France, we had another announcement and an internal selection. They are going with the singer Luan. Who is a well-established singer on the French market. She was a semifinalist in the 2013 season of The Voice. So that would have been, she would have been in her teens at that point. She's been basically a mainstay on the French scene since then. She's also the voice of Violet in the French dub of Incredibles 2, which is fun.
L'incroyable.
Deux.
I assume.
Je ne sais pas. But yes, yeah, so semifinalist awesome. on The Voice back then. And yeah, so she's giving this a shot this year. So again, France going with well-established big names as they did last year. So very curious to see what the song is going to be for there. It's going to be another crazy weekend as we look ahead. By the time that you hear this episode, Azerbaijan will announce their singer. Ireland will have their national final. Denmark will finally release their artists and songs for their national final.
Release them from what?
A ice cave well below.
The Disney Vault.
Yeah.
The Disney Vault.
And then we have an upcoming Super Saturday, which, you know, depending on when you listen to this, might be in the past, might be in the future. I don't know. Subscribe to our Patreon and get access to this episode even sooner. So you'll get it before this Super Saturday. But we'll have finals in Ukraine, Latvia, Malta, and Finland. So get your screens ready, y'all. It's going to be crazy.
All right. Can we also point out, please, oh, please, oh, please, about how we had another absolutely insane person dropping out of a national final story over this past week?
Again.
This one being.
All right. So this one was from Italy.
Oh God, this.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, but San Remo is huge. Of course, someone drops out of San Remo every year, don't they?
They had also like expanded the field for this year. So this is just like a regression to the mean, so to speak.
So the final is going to be 7 hours and 55 minutes instead of 8 hours is what I'm hearing.
That's correct, Sam. Okay. They're cutting back. They're doing the Chanel thing. Just take one person. Just take one person out. I'm looking for the story. I'm sorry. Because it's insane.
This story has everything. It has Italian broadcasting. It's got soccer hooligans. It's got the mafia.
Got rubber ducks. It's got
a child. Actually, I don't think it does have.
Please tell me there's no children involved in this.
Yeah, no, there. I don't think there is. Yeah. No, it's a Stefan reference. Don't worry. Okay. So Emis Killa. Ooh, that was prophetic. Was a guy in the San Remo thing with a song called "Demons" again. Who would have thought? He withdrew from San Remo because he has alleged links to an anti-mafia
investigation. There's like a checklist here. Bullet list. Like,
don't say bullet too loudly, seriously.
I know, I was going to say this. Yeah.
So there's this thing going on with like an anti-mob thing involving AC Milan and Inter Milan and maybe some shenanigans going on there. And 19 people have been arrested in this thing so far. Incidentally, he has been banned from attending football matches for 3 years. So he can't even do that instead of San Remo. He's under investigation for some of this stuff, and so he had to back out. I'm telling you, cursed. It's so cursed.
I love this article because we even got like we got to look at the like sort of like investigation when they went into his house. Like the police like confiscated a bunch of things. Sadly, nothing related to San Remo. Apparently, everything he was doing music wise was above the board. Mm-hmm. But they did apparently confiscate 40,000 euros, 7 knives, 3 brass knuckles, a baton, and a taser from his house.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
A very fun party. A very wild party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, did you see the list of duets for Duets Night of San Remo for this year?
No,
I did. Yeah, it's gonna be hit. Tell us.
There's some cool stuff in here. Achille Lauro, who is competing again, by the way.
Yeah,
so you get to look forward to that. Is going with Elodie on a medley of a few things. We've got Il Volo showing up for one of these for a cover of Simon and Garfunkel's "The Sound of Silence."
Great.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Skyfall by Adele is going to be done by contestant Georgia and special guest Annalisa. Holy crap.
That's going to be great.
Lucio Corsi is going to be joined by one of the greatest Italians who has ever lived, Topo Gigio.
Topo Gigio, give me a kiss.
For a cover of Nel Plu Dipinto di Blu, Volare.
Is like something tailor made for like the nonni watching San Remo mm-hmm. with their grandkids. Oh my god, Topo Gigio!
Offenbach, the stars of Junior Eurovision 2021, will be joining Sarah Toscano for a song, an Offenbach song. I don't think that counts as a cover, but whatever. Let's see. We've got If I Ain't Got You by Alicia Keys being done by Serena Brancale and Alessandra Amoroso. I'm kind of just going for the songs I recognize. I'm sure some of these are like super famous in Italy, but I'm not in Italy, Sam. So I
I'm sorry.
I would be if I could. Yeah, great list as always. That's always a really fun night. And it's just always fun to see who shows up at these things. Generally, apparently Damiano from Måneskin is going to be making an appearance at some point. He's kind of gone solo now.
Beba.
What? Beba?
Damiano's running solo.
Ah.
Oh, how quickly we forget.
It's
insane. Yeah. Like, as Eurovision watchers, I feel like I am biased because I notice Damiano everywhere. Like, I'll see, like, on Instagram some red carpet photos or, like, you know, the young folks talking about Måneskin or Damiano. Like, I feel like for the past couple of years, I've just been like, oh, I'm only noticing that because I'm so into Eurovision. But the mainstream breakthrough is extremely real. I've just come to realize he is just an enormous star now, to the point where he is recognizable to people in America. Måneskin is very recognizable to people in America. It has just been a wild couple of years.
Is he still dating, was it Dove Cameron or something like that?
Rings a bell. That rings a bell. Yeah. So I am not a Damiano follower. I am not one of the girlies. I am not a stan, as it is said.
As the youths say.
No. My stanning happens over the border to the east.
Say it.
Wisconsin?
Sylvania! what else do we got? What else do we got here before hopping in? Yeah. Oh, man.
I think that's the big stuff. I we're going to get a little bit of a preview of the Czech song this upcoming weekend. I believe Adonis is going to be performing a acoustic version of Kiss Kiss Goodbye, his song, at one of the national finals this weekend. It's not the full release, but at least we'll get a little bit of the idea of what the vibe is for Kiss Kiss Goodbye. So
I wonder what it could be. It's a love. It's a happy song about a new love.
No.
I hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
I already know Danny loves it. I can say that.
Almost certainly.
I can say that with confidence.
I mean, I'm not a fan of acoustic. So it's weird because Adonis, his music is all like club bangers. We're going to get that on a guitar. It's going to be, I don't know. Do you want to listen to Sandstorm on someone's acoustic?
You know what? I would actually probably be able to play that. I'm such a crappy guitar player. Just that one note.
I do kind of want to hear that. I think you maybe just chose a poor example.
Okay, all right.
I mean, half the time we end up getting the artists releasing alternate versions of their songs in this, you know, like Eurovision Just a Little Bit stuff that they do on that YouTube anyway. So, like, I think he's just kind of getting ahead of it and having fun with it. So, yeah, if you have, you know, it, oftentimes when you're in the preview section of the Eurovision year, you're playing the song in the same way over and over and over and over again. So I say good on Adonis for switching it up. I mean, if Francesco Gabani had multiple versions in his back pocket of Occidentale's Karma, would he have gotten so fatigued of it by the time he had gotten to the stage in Kyiv?
Probably.
Oh, okay, fine.
I feel like the nebulous genre that is white guy with guitar is, it's not as much of a thing over there. Just generally,
it's hard to say just because it's a whole big continent and many in the British Isles versions maybe. Of that genre.
Yeah, maybe know, in the British, like, Isles.
I'm just thinking about, like, at Eurovision, we haven't had a ton of these things. Like, One Thing I Should Have Done was kind of like that.
I mean, Tom Dice and My Guitar. Yeah.
Ked Vashem is sort of a favorite of the show, but there aren't a lot of these. They don't do these.
No.
We know that the full version that we're going to hear in Basel isn't going to be the acoustic, that, like, almost certainly he's going to, you know.
Right. It's interesting that they're introducing it this way, considering how this sort of thing just doesn't get done generally.
I don't know.
I'm excited to hear it. I hope it brings about some insane predictions about what the real thing will sound like, and that all of those predictions are wrong.
Right.
It's actually like there's an Oompa band, and it's, yeah.
Somebody churning butter, yeah.
It's Czech. It's a polka song.
All right. Any other bits of news that anybody else wants to share?
No, I don't actually.
Yeah. In that case, why don't we just hop into our topic? We're gonna kind of keep this one pretty quick, a little bit of history here, but we're gonna have a little bit of fun with this. As we know, we already have the Cypriot entry for this year's contest. In Theo Evan was one of the, I believe, the first name that we heard this year, and we also now have Klavdia representing Cyprus with Asteromata. And I feel like the love affair between Greece and Cyprus is a storied one that causes both elation and teeth gnashing among the Eurovision community. So why don't we kind of dive into the relationship between Greece and Cyprus? Who wants to kick us off?
I suppose I should. I'm, you know, the token newest member to this. And I just, this is partly inspired by my long lasting memories of watching the contest for the first time in 2018, having no concept as to what traditions there are with this contest, having no real vested prior knowledge in anything historical or intersocial among all of the countries, and just losing my, like, when the votes come in for Cyprus and Greece, hearing boos resounding across the entire arena. Very vocal, very strong, and immediately having to ask Eric what's going on.
Well, yeah, it seems that since the two nations started, with Greece entering the contest for the first time back in 1974 and Cyprus joining in 1981, it seems like the two were inextricably linked. Of course, as the only two nations that sing in Greek, there's a lot to be said for that, considering that language... Yeah,
there's no one in Belgium?
I mean...
Luxembourg didn't sing in Greece ever.
Yeah. So, Eric, I believe you kind of dived in and did a little bit of statmotroning on the relationship between Greece and Cyprus. You want to tell us some stats and some numbers, some facts and figures that you've seen?
I was muted. Yes, I did, Sam. This still happens. Okay, I'll start with this. And the Wikipedia just has a quote from this. The BBC News did a little piece on the maths of Eurovision voting back in 2008. Mm. And noted, this is a quote from Ruth Alexander, Cyprus and Greece are commonly accused of favoring each other, and of all the countries, statistics suggest they are the most likely to vote for each other. At the time, that probably was true in terms of most likely. I will get to this in a second. That
I was going to say, because in the 2010s, I can see them a couple of pairs. Yeah,
that is no longer true, but we'll get to that. They're certainly up there, though. She noted that there was a particular broadcast, I don't know which year this was, but Terry Wogan commented on it, saying, over the years, people say this is ludicrous, but they still do it. They just don't care. They like each other.
I mean, if I were living in the country and voting on my phone, I suppose I wouldn't care. But if I was a jury member who was awarding 12 points, that would be very different. Of course, this is back in the era when it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for the first many years, it was only juries, right, but they still favored each other a lot. When it comes to televote, there are almost no exceptions to these countries voting for each other. From a period of, yeah, about 16 years, 1997 to 2013, every opportunity these two countries had to give 12 points for each other, they did it every single time, which is wild. One of the weird exceptions, neither of them gave 12 points to the other in 2015. They both gave their 12s to Il Volo.
Huh. Bit of Mediterranean, you know, Mediterranean love rather than just, you know, Grecophone.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Some backroom deal. Did they give each other 10s then?
I think one got an 8, the other got a 10.
All right, that sounds about right.
Going all the way, let's go back to the beginning. Greece debuted at Eurovision in 1974. Cyprus debuted in 1981. Greece actually kind of dropped out in 1975 in solidarity with Cyprus, even though they hadn't debuted, because in 1975, Turkey
that's when it happened.
was making its debut, and sort of in protest of Turkey competing, they dropped out. But by 1981, they were both in. In 31 finals, Cyprus has given Greece 12 points. 26
out of how many?
26 out of 31 times.
Jeez. Which is
quite a bit. In any instance where there is a specific televote vote, basically, actually, any time since the televote was introduced, they have always given 12 points to each other at every opportunity, except in 2015, where there was, solidarity towards our non-Swedish Italian guys. there have been some exceptions. Greece blanked Cyprus in 1983,
ooh,
which is kind of wild.
Did they forget? I forgot to mail in the votes.
There's some other country
today?
That we were gonna.
That was Super Wednesday.
On average, so how I do this in the Statmotron is I kind of look at this by like both the type of round, so like semifinal versus final, and then also the type of vote. If it was an all jury vote, if it was an all televote vote, if it was a mixed vote that was combined into one, it looks at all of these things differently because there can be different trends in each of them. But as it turns out, and I'll say, when you look at like country A voting for country B, there's a very high bell curve that tops out at around 3 points. On average, over decades and decades, each country gives each other country somewhere between 2 and 4 points on average, basically. Mm-hmm. And then there are the outliers. For instance, Cyprus, on average, they've had an opportunity to vote for Greece 47 times. They've averaged 11.11 points. Which is a lot. Greece does not quite reciprocate to that level. Theirs is 10.65. Greek juries are a little bit less friendly to Cyprus than the reverse for some reason. It's still extremely high. It's still like 8.5 points on average. Sure. But
I know a bunch of countries who would kill for that kind of relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. There are only a few things that are comparable.
In that same period, yeah. What is it like? Like, it's got to be like Russia, Belarus, right?
Russia, Belarus is certainly up there, especially when it's Belarus voting for Russia.
Yeah.
That is 10.6 on average. I wrote that one down because that was a notable one. The reverse, Russia voting for Belarus is 7.42, which is considerably lower, but still quite high.
But Romania, Moldova?
Romania, Moldova is the king of this, though. So if we narrow this down to votes that have happened at least 20 times, so we well, because we'll have things like, oh yeah, Bosnia and Herzegovina voted for
Serbia
or something like that, or Croatia, but those have only happened like 3 or 4 times. So some of those numbers are also extremely high. There are a few that like Turkey, Morocco only happened once. It was a 12.
By the way, who knew?
Imagine that. But yeah, if we narrow this down to things that have happened at least 20 times, Moldova voting for Romania gets up to 11.68.
Wow.
Almost perfect. Next highest is Romania voting for Moldova at 10.85. Although I guess Cyprus to Greece is between those. Next highest, Belarus voting for Russia at 10.6.
Is it Azerbaijan to Russia?
Azerbaijan to Turkey, probably, but they may not have had enough of a sample size.
Yes, there isn't a ton of overlap between those, but that one is also very high. Wow. The other one above 10 points per vote is North Macedonia voting for Albania. They give them an average of 10.12. Honorable mention, Montenegro voting for Serbia, 11.19. That's happened 16 times, which is a decent amount. Fun fact, the most common vote just from one country to another over the entire history is Germany to Norway. It's happened 67 times.
Wow.
Huh. Whoa.
That's a fun
fact. Well, that error's
over. Yeah. So they're just about BFFs. They are BFFs. They're not the biggest BFFs. That honor goes to Romania and Moldova.
But they're not here this year. Neither of them will be here this year. So
the numbers can't go down. Well, Moldova.
That's true.
Moldova dropped.
For what reason, though, then, has the Romania-Moldova relationship not sort of become as much of a meme at the contest as the Greeks? Cypriot relationship.
I mean, it should be noted that exactly. Sure. I mean, we're talking countries that entered the contest back in 74 and 81 versus Romania entered in 94
and Moldova, you're right.
And Moldova entered for the first time, that would have been 2003, something like that. 2005 maybe.
Once the wall came down.
Yeah, so there were whenever Zobchizdub's first entry was, so I want to say 2003 or 5. Watch, it was 4.
I'm watching.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just a longer history, and people I think have had more time to meme this up, honestly. you know, Terry Wogan basically saying, oh, here comes Cyprus. We know where their points are going to. It doesn't, you know, it's a little bit different where there are so many more countries as well. So
in all seriousness, Terry Wogan is a non-zero factor in the proliferation of this as like a thing. And I don't mean to like crap on the guy for that necessarily, but I think
you can crap on him for other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not going anywhere.
Yeah. There's, there are a number of things I think that in the way that Eurovision is perceived now that can be directly tied to Terry Wogan. That could be its whole, that could be a whole show of its own, actually.
Wogan is not, have we not yet like absolutely eviscerated Terry Wogan as an institution on this show enough?
No, no, I don't.
That
think
is
so.
Certainly not. Yeah. But that would be, you know, a there's great a
big,
idea, like,
there's a big like poster, like painting, drawing thing of Terry Wogan on the side of a building in downtown Dublin that I went past.
That tracks.
Yeah. Right next to Father Ted, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
that's not a joke. I think I want to say those two are next to each other. There's a few things like that in this. What's the name of the bar, central bar area of
Temple
Dublin?
Bar?
Temple or Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. It's in the Temple Bar area if you're ever there. Go find the Terry Wogan sign and tell him that we sent you. Because, someone had noted, you know, do these countries have other allies that come close to this level of allyship?
Yeah.
And no, not really. I mean, very few things come to this level. Greece does get an average of about 8 points from Albania, which is, which makes sense and is...
when they're not giving their points to North Macedonia and Italy.
Yeah, yeah. Cyprus's next ally is not quite as strong. It's Armenia. 6.25 on average from Armenia.
You know what? Culturally speaking, there's a lot of love between Greece and, by extension, Cyprus and Armenia. There's a lot of love there.
Because they both hate the Turks.
Well, yeah, I mean who in the Balkans doesn't? In that case, why isn't Austria constantly, you know?
Why indeed? So I speaking of some of the countries we've talked about, I also just took a quick look at the anti-BFFs.
Yes.
One of these will not come as a surprise. The other one probably will.
Is it Cyprus and Turkey?
No.
I mean, Armenia, Azerbaijan, of course.
Yeah, yes. So if we go by that same standard, 20 opportunities to vote for a country, there are only two instances where a country has simply blanked another every single time. One is Azerbaijan blanking Armenia. That's happened 27 times. The reverse did happen once. Armenia did give a point to Azerbaijan one time.
Right.
And that's it. The other one, care to guess? It's super random. I don't think that there's any actual beef between these countries.
Okay.
Let's say...
they've been there for a long, long time.
All right.
I'm going to guess Finland and Portugal.
I'm going to guess...
That's a great answer, but it is not correct.
I was going to say like Luxembourg to Iceland, but...
Estonia, Malta.
None of you have picked either of the countries. I'll just tell you, it's Belgium blanking North Macedonia.
Whoa. They've been in them for so long. Like
they have had the opportunity to vote for North Macedonia 24 times and have not given them a single point.
What?
Wow.
They didn't give them any points.
That's the only other instance of that.
Even during Proud Year? Like,
I guess not. I mean, North Macedonia.
Well, now I want to double check. That's a good point. But yeah, I believe that's correct. I also, as long as we're here, there are some pretty crazy stories about these two countries, not as like BFFs or partners, but in terms of like sending songs and having it go poorly, particularly in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, where do we start? We'll start with Greece.
Greece is behind our failed saxophone solo, right? In 1991.
Oh, Yannick,
really their fault though.
It wasn't. But feels like the Greek curse happened.
Go ahead, Sam.
Certainly, if you don't know what we're talking about, that is a bit of a plug for our Patreon, where we did just recently post a reaction to watching Greece's entry in 1991, Ionixy, and how the orchestra live in Italy did them so dirty. So again, check out our Patreon if you wanted to see that. And if not, just honestly, watch the performance anyway. It's hilarious. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so we'll start in the long, long ago of 1982. Greece had a song ready to go. They were drawn to the death spot, actually. They were going to be number two. And then a couple weeks before the competition, they bowed out. And the reason they bowed out...
Yes, for why, Eric?
Depends on who you ask. There were a couple of those.
Okay.
There were a couple of different stories at the time. A Greek minister of culture had apparently voiced an opposition to the song, basically saying, it sucks, don't send it. The real reason, I suspect, is the song they were sending, which was called, oh God,
Saranta Pente Copelies.
Yeah, good job, Sam.
Yes, sir.
It was not an original song.
Oh.
This is a Greek folk song.
It's happened before. Yes.
Well, I mean, we kind of saw this with Shum.
That's what comes to mind.
Where Shum mentioned. They had to make some changes so it wasn't just straight up the song it had to be an original piece. That didn't happen in this case, and they just dropped out.
Aww.
This was a little bit different. This happened again with Greece dropping out just before the contest in 1986. I don't think that this has ever been like fully confirmed.
Saucy rumors?
Well, not even. It's just somebody looked at a calendar and put some dots together. Polina, the song was going to be called A Wagon Lit. It was all set. They decided to pull out again very, very late because that particular year fell on Holy Saturday of the Eastern Orthodox calendar.
Did nobody look at a calendar when they decided to register?
Again, it feels so weird for like a big international contest to increasingly and constantly fall victim to, oh, whoopsie. someone forgot to sign a form. Mm-hmm. Someone forgot to turn the lights on. Like,
yeah. But not to be outdone, and this is one of my favorite things I've ever read about the contest. You want to talk about a whoopsie? Here's what Cyprus did in 1988, if you can believe it. So here's what happened. Cyprus had an internal selection. They picked a song called Thymame, or Thymame, I don't know.
Thymame? I don't know.
Yeah. But this one didn't go up until like 2 weeks before the contest, till this was figured out. Local media heard this song that they released, and were like, this sounds familiar. And it turns out that's because this same song had been in the Cypriot national final 4 years earlier.
Oh,
just four?
Whoops. 4 years earlier. And so it was quickly shut down.
Say, like, oh, they took a second look and it turned out, oh, this is actually just knock three times on the ceiling if you want me by Tony Orlando and Don. Like this is
What were we? Oh, God, shouldn't.
We thought no one would notice.
So they went back, you know, they went back into their huddle and talked about it some more and tried to figure out what to do. And they determined that they could not send the song, which is true.
Well, duh. Yeah.
It was a 4-year-old song that had been performed publicly. We talked about how like, oh, this was a couple months too early or whatever sometimes. No, 4 years, baby. That's the bar. So that's fun. They also determined that like between the, you know, when they set up the rules for this thing for the internal selection, that they were explicitly not going to allow for any sort of second place song to take its place. They said specifically, if anything goes wrong, there's no backup.
Why?
I don't know. Because also apparently at least some of the jurors who worked on this. Again, this was an internal selection at this point. We're like, are you sure about this song? Because this was definitely in the national final 4 years ago. And the person in charge was like, don't worry about it.
At that point, you're just looking for an excuse to bow out. Like, it just seems intentional.
Deliberately trying to shoot themselves in the foot for a variety of, I don't know, reasons or historical circumstances. But this seems like, I'm just going to say, this is funny. actually, this is going to be illegal and it's going to be disqualified. No, it won't. like that's just what they said.
Don't worry about it. It's okay. Opa.
That literally happened. And then
that is incredible. You see, that is a story I wasn't even familiar with. I'm mm-hmm. There's always something. Yeah. So I suppose the iceberg has existed in, since time immemorial, truly.
Oh, yeah. 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 This sort of nonsense is not I know this year's been really uncomfortably weird at times. None of this is new. Like,
there is a bit of a comfort to that, honestly.
Yeah,
there is that. That boils down to the big question that I have on our little sheet, which is this an annoyance? Is this something that you wish would be avoided? Or is this just kind of one of those lovable Eurovision traditions?
I mean,
like, of course, we want the points to be going to the song that actually deserves it. But I don't know. Isn't there something like a nice warm hug that you get whenever you see 12 from Cyprus go to Greece?
I mean, when you see, especially with a public vote, like, what do audience members respond to? And if it's something that is familiar, if it's something that where there's a touchstone, I mean, Greece and Cyprus often send songs that have touchstones of their local music scene in it. Whether it's an instrumentation or a rhythm or a dance, they often will embrace what makes their song Cypriot or Greek. And if a voter in the opposite country says, this feels familiar to me, I like this, I don't besmirch it. I don't hate it. I don't think it's ever derailed a winner from winning, because they'll often, you know, the rest of their votes are generally on the up and up. I don't think it's I have to vote for Greece because I am Cypriot, or vice versa. It's just this responds to me. Like, you know, how many times if there's a big well-known name that's representing Serbia, do you see votes from Croatia and Slovenia and the other former Yugoslav states flowing into it?
Yeah.
You know, how many, I was going to say how many times does a well-known artist from the UK bring in votes from other Anglophone countries, but we know that's not the case.
We know nothing will help that country.
No, that's...
Maybe they should have like some guy named with the last name G-son like write for them. I feel like that could
Danny
do the trick.
Danny,
what?
Shut up.
No,
Derek, what do you think
about what?
about Tom Lieb.
Oh, okay. I think the UK should send Paul McCartney just so he comes last.
Oh, no.
There's some wild rumors about the UK going around right now.
I know, right? There always is. I guess one of the things that we're not really touching on is we're not really distinguishing the difference between the jury and the public vote.
Sure, sure.
That's fair. I feel
like
that's true.
In a lot of cases, you see this inherent bias in the public vote. I'm like, well, there's nothing you can do about that. That's just there. And
you can't really. You're gonna vote for the song that like sort of culturally resonates with you. And of course, that's going to resonate with neighbor countries and historical. I mean,
even if they wouldn't allies, do it just because of the country, if maybe they just see something in the song that they see themselves or they like, and it's like, exactly. Okay, this is the song I connect with. It just happens to sound exactly like something I would normally listen to, which just happens to be from Greece or whatever. Mm. Conversely, though, we see the exact same trends in the juries. And I'll always say, like, I find that very disconcerting that the juries would give each other 12 points. Or even, like, in the reverse case, I remember looking at votes for Armenia and Azerbaijan. They would always give each other zeros. And it's like, you're the jury. You should have some objectivity and be able to say, like, I find this country, I find you people morally reprehensible. But this is a pretty good song, so I'm going to give you 7.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the juries are there for.
And that doesn't happen more often than not is just kind of bizarre to me. Like that they always gave each other 12s back when the points were combined. It seems very odd to me in that regard. When it's separate, it's like, okay, well, yeah, okay, the jury's only going to get 5 points to You Can't Break a Broken Heart or whatever. No surprise there.
That was a highlight of the 2023 final, by the way, was the
5 rolling in and everyone in the press room gasping.
I think it was 4.
Oh, it was only 4.
The jury vote comes in, Break a Broken Heart gets 4 points.
People were shocked.
The crowd reacted like they just like won a rap battle or something. Just like, that was the craziest thing that had ever happened. And honestly, like that was the least dramatic jury point reveal I've ever seen, because it was just everybody giving 12 to Loreen.
Yeah.
So like that little bit of like they give 12 points to who, or they gave 4 points to who? That's the 4 heard round the world.
Right, that was supposed to be the one that broke the pattern, where somebody would finally come in and be like, okay, well, this one's not going to be Sweden, right?
Nope.
They did not break the broken heart.
Fall in line.
Yeah. That was... there was one other thing I noticed. I was just kind of messing with my my spreadsheet that runs all of these numbers. Mm-hmm. And I was curious about, like, I mean, I've wanted to do some just general analytics of, like, how many points a random country can just almost expect based on who its neighbors are and that sort of thing. Oh, and I was curious, when Russia was in the contest, who did they give their points to?
Fairly reliably.
Belarus, if they were there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Ukraine, when relationships were good.
I was gonna say, if only it was the 19th mm-hmm. century, then it would be France over and over.
Yeah. I will tell you this. You have to, so if you rank the countries by, like, the average points that Russia gives them, you have to go down to seventh to get a non-Soviet republic.
Oh wow! Okay, so the
seventh one is Greece, by the way. Just bringing it full circle, but yeah, like I think Armenia was first, then Azerbaijan, Ukraine.
All fronts where Russian cultural hegemony is very strong. Yeah,
all of the former Soviet republics that participate in Eurovision, but aren't the Baltics?
They kind of stand alone.
You have to go down to 15th to get a Baltic in terms of Russia giving points out. All the way down to 15th, Estonia. Mm. Lithuania is a little before that. Then you got to go way down to Latvia. But I think that is owed as much to Latvia not doing well in the contest as much as anything. But voting for your neighbors is, I mean, it's certainly a boon for Russia. They just have a lot of neighbors.
I also think it needs to be said that a lot of the times when you have two countries with, you know, similar cultural, you know, linguistic backgrounds, especially in the case of something like Greece and Cyprus, a lot of the Cypriot music, like the commercial, like the music, like the labels, the distribution, they will come from Greek labels.
Yeah. Hmm. Is that where Panic Records is from?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll see a lot of the flow from that way. And also considering that how many times recently have the Cypriot entrance not been Cypriot, but from Greece?
Well, it's sort of been the same thing with Greece. Greece has done a lot of American outsourcing.
Not as much as Cyprus to Greece and, strangely enough, Georgia.
Like,
everyone knows Greece gets their entrance from Australia.
Well, that too, frankly. Yeah. I mean,
that's.
Oh, yeah, fair.
These things are all over the place.
It's messy. It's fun, but it's messy. There is that dynamic as well.
Well, they're friends. I'm looking forward to seeing it again this year. I always want to see them give each other 12s and deserve it for once. When do you guys think they deserved it last? When was Oniramu? What was
the one that came to mind for me?
What was the Cypriot song that year? Was that Fuego?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2018.
That was the Fuego year.
They could have given each other 12s and I wouldn't have hated them.
Oniramu.
Well, yeah, but Oniramu didn't make it to the finals.
I was good. Didn't make it to the final. Doesn't that suck? Yeah.
That does suck, actually.
What did Greece have on El Diablo year?
So that's 2020.
Was that Better Love? Was that Big Pink Balls year?
No.
That's 2019.
Yeah, 2021 was. Oh my gosh, I'm absolutely blanking out here.
I got. Well,
Stefania, Last Dance, Pants Dance.
Oh, Pants Dance.
Oh man,
we forgot.
Oh yeah,
Pants
but
Dance.
I mean, I loved that song, but that's not the 12.
No, it's not. I do Pants love Dance. Me some Pants Dance though.
Get yourself your Pants Dance shirts over on our Redbubble page.
Yeah, we've got them. We've got Pants Dance shirts.
And these two countries continue to be sort of like in that short list of countries that might very well come out of nowhere and win the contest one of these years, you know?
I mean, at this point, I believe Cyprus is the country that has participated for the longest time without a win. And at this point, Greece has only won it once.
Mm-hmm. At least it was in this century.
Yep. 20 years ago. Oh, God.
Oh, golly. Gee, golly, Willick.
But you know what? I mean, we'll see what Theo Evan brings this year. I think a lot of folks are very impressed by what they've heard from Klavdia Astromata. Yeah. And, you know, the fact that it is in Greek. And from what I can tell, the song actually does touch on a historical issue to the Greek diaspora. It talks about the forced migration. Honestly, it's 1944, but for Pontic Greeks instead of Ukrainian Crimean Tatars.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's heavy. Yeah, it's sort of a similar time period to the Armenian genocide. There was a forced migration and genocide of Pontic Greeks in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same dialect that, if you remember Argo from 2016, Utopian Land.
Oh,
it's the same. It's the same ethnic group.
Affleck movie.
Well, that too. I haven't seen Clavdia and Ben Affleck in the same room at the same time, so who knows?
It makes so much sense. Sam, I do need to make one quick correction.
Yeah, please do.
Cyprus is the second longest running country to have never won. Behind.
We can't really count to anyone from like Yugoslavia.
It's not Iceland.
Come on. Czech Republic? No, that's longer.
No, they're way too new than Cyprus.
We've done Finland, we've done Sweden, we've done Norway, we've done Denmark.
I mean, Morocco doesn't count.
Longest
running, you know.
Excluding Morocco. Now, this country Iceland. Debuted in the
Iceland. 70s. Iceland came in later. Mm-hmm. Iceland came in mid-80s.
70s, you say? Well, we got Portugal already. Is it San Marino? How long have they been around?
No, only since 2008.
It is a small country, I'll tell you that.
It's a small boy. Okay.
Oh, it's not Andorra, is it?
No.
Albania?
No, smaller.
Armenia?
70s. We got to be outside of the block. Is it Malta?
It's Malta.
Oh my gosh, of course Malta. You know what? It may be by number because I know that Malta had a break for quite a while back in the
80s. Yeah.
Cyprus had the most representations.
The most contests under
that
belt.
Is probably correct. Yes. Yeah. Malta's debut was a little bit.
Yes.
So we're both right.
Yay.
I'm going to tell you, we got to go back to the Mediterranean. I don't even care if it's Italy again. We got to go back.
Works for me.
Well, what if Spain? They seem like the most likely.
What if Spain hosted on Ibiza?
You could take a pill.
Wouldn't that be hot? I'll take that.
All right. Any other comments before we wrap the show up?
What do we think the future is
for Cyprus and Greece? 12 points.
I think it's bright. You know, if the past 10 years have been anything to indicate, they both have a wellspring of native and ethnic music, and as well as like modern pop music. They gel well together. They gel well together often at the contest. It's just, you know, spin the wheel on whether or not the audience will like it. So, like I said, they could definitely come out of nowhere and win it one of these years.
I'll also just add, I love that they do this. Like I understand that people find it annoying. I love this. I think it's one of those things that makes Eurovision really fun. And it makes those moments like the 4-point thing in 2023 so much fun, so much more special when there's an exception to this sort of rule. But like this kind of geopolitical stuff in this, where there are two little countries that just love on each other all the time. I love it. I love that they do this, and I hope they keep doing it.
It's also just nice to see a somewhat balanced relationship between these two countries, other than the unrequited love between San Marino and Italy.
Yes. Yeah. San Marino loves Italy. Italy could not care less.
simp for Italy.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Bless their little hearts. Anyway, I suppose we should wrap up for tonight. But we will catch everybody on our next episode. Like I said, by the time you hear this, Azerbaijan will have announced, Ireland will select. You will probably hear the songs from Ukraine, Latvia, Malta, and Finland selected. A lot is still going. It is a crazy time of year. Thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. You know how to reach us. 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com if you'd like to email us, or just 12pointsusa on basically every social media outlet. But we will catch you on our next episode. And until then, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening.
Stop listening now.
No. I don't think that's a reason that it happened again. Yes. Love it.
Gonna have to start that over.
Do I? All right.